Figure after 20 minutes of economics, when y'all have two after me, it's probably more than enough, so we'll be good. Like Darren said, my name is Dee Dee Jones, and I'm an extension risk management economist based out of Amarillo. And what I'm going to talk today about is a study that I conducted that analyzes the potential impact of cottonseed subsidies on Texas Southern High Plains producers. So just to give you a little bit of a background, everybody in this room is either an agriculture producer or works with agriculture producers. So you know that there's a lot of risk surrounding agriculture. I mean, we've got financial risk in terms of falling prices or rising costs. And then we also have production risk with volatile weather patterns. Most years we have all three of these plus about 10 more. And so all growers experience economic risk and hardship. If you talk to some cotton farmers, they would probably tell you that they have less downside risk protection than a lot of the other commodities do right now. And the reason for that is because they lost their Title I provisions in the Agriculture Act of 2014. So I'm not going to go into a whole lot of farm bill policy because rather than 5 minutes, which I needed to devote to it, it would take me 50 minutes, but I wanted to give you a little bit of a background on the farm policy just because it directly ties into the whole study. And so basically, up until this last farm bill in 2014, farmers got something called direct program payments. They were fixed every year. They had these historical acres, these historical yields, these set payment rates, and they got a check in the mail every October. Didn't matter if cotton was 50 cents or $2, they got the same check in the mail. Farmers liked that consistency, and honestly, bankers liked that consistency because they knew exactly what they could put in for their income statement or their cash flow statements every crop year. Those are completely gone. We no longer have direct payments anymore. They have replaced those with two new programs. One is the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program, and the other one is the Price Loss Coverage Program. And those basically just provide safety nets during times of low market prices. So these farmers back in the 2014 Farm Bill had two main decisions that they had to make. One, they had to decide whether or not they wanted to update those historical acres and yields, because that's what they are continue to be paid on, even in these new farm programs. And the second thing they had to decide is, did they want to choose the ARC program or did they want to choose the PLC program? The thing is, though, is cotton producers, for the most part, did not get that choice. Basically, due to a very complicated political WTO dispute that I don't have the nerve to get into right now, cotton was essentially left out of the Title I provisions of the Farm Bill. And so what I'm going to do now, before I go into the study analysis and results, is talk a little bit about the PLC program. Because when we simulate these oilseed subsidies, we're going to assume that they are signed up for the price loss coverage program. PLC is a really pretty simple program. It's just a price support type system. Basically, the Farm Bill of 2014 set reference prices for all covered commodities. So the reference price for wheat is $5.50 a bushel. Corn is $3.70. Grain sorghum $3.95. They also set it for soybeans and peanuts and all the other program crops. The reason I highlighted other oil seeds in red, that's canola, sunflowers, that type of oil seed. That reference price was set for $20.15 a hundredweight. And so talking to Joe Outlaw, he's kind of the head of the A&M Policy Center, if cotton seed does make it into the farm program, most likely that would be their PLC reference price. These prices are set for the life of the bill, which is at least through 2018. And basically, the way the formula works is every year, basically, USDA calculates a national average market year price. So right now, this is just an illustration for the wheat program. According to Kansas State and then also Texas A&M Policy Center, the national average wheat price is running about $3.70 a bushel for the 2016 marketing year, which is still going on. So we have our national average price. We have our $5.50 reference price, and farmers essentially get paid on the difference. So right now that PLC payment would run around $1.75 a bushel for wheat, times the base acres, those historical base acres, times those historical yields, And this, just because it's the federal government, they always pay you on 85%. I don't know why. They've always done that. They did that with direct payments, and they will continue to do that with the FICOS coverage payments as well. So essentially, the PLC program is just taking this price guarantee, comparing it to the current market price, and then paying you the difference on your base acres. All right. And so the odd thing about the cotton program is that whereas they did not get a reference price to be part of the PLC program, they didn't exactly lose those historical base acres either. So they don't get paid on cotton, but they got to maintain their base acres. And so what happened is these cotton base acres became generic acres. And the way these farmers were able to get credit for their generic base acres that used to be cotton base acres is they had to plant something other than cotton. So every year, let's say a farmer, in this example, I have one that had 261 acres of generic base. And so this particular producer, producer one, he planted 360 acres of wheat that year and 360 acres of cotton. Well, cotton's not eligible, but he can say, well, I planted 360 acres of wheat, so I want all of my 261 acres of generic base to go as a farm program payment for wheat. So if the next year he decides that he plants all corn, those generic acres will go to corn program payment. Next year they could be a soybean program payment. So whereas base acres on the program crops are fixed, those generic acres are going to move with whatever they happen to have planted in any given year. So that's a very brief summary of basically how the Farm Bill works. I felt like I kind of needed to lead into that so our study will make a little more sense. But like I said, really the only times the generic acres work is if you plant something other than cotton. So they do allow some operations to take advantage of these farm subsidies, but they fail to provide adequate risk protection for all cotton farmers. And so in response to this issue, there is an industry push to have oil seed or cotton seed designated as an other oil seed, similar to canola or sunflowers, and therefore it could be included in the Farm Bill. So the argument, and you guys, some of you policy guys are in here, you can correct me, but basically they're saying, hey, oil seeds are already in the Farm Bill. They already have a reference price. Cotton seed is an oil seed, so why can't cotton seed receive a government payment? All right, and so basically this study analyzes the five-year financial impact on the Texas Southern High Plains of producers who become eligible for the PLC cotton seed program. Okay, so we selected five operations for analysis. These operations have about 24 different FSA farms and over 3,700 acres of generic base that could potentially be eligible for those oil seed payments. What we did then is we performed a study analysis from 2017 through 2021, the five-year analysis, using our Texas A&M Financial and Risk Management Assistance Program. So basically what Farm Assistance is a pro forma stochastic simulation model. We basically take actual producers, we take all their financial and production information, and then we do a five-year simulation under risk. And the way we simulate risk is we do 100 possible different outcomes in every year. Every outcome will have a different price and a different yield. And so basically we're able to get a really good five-year financial risk analysis program on these five farmers that farmed about 24 different operations. And so each operation was simulated with two scenarios. The first assumed that farm subsidies continued on just like they have been. Cotton seed was not included anywhere in the Farm Bill. We just assumed they would continue to be left out. But that they did continue on through 2021. We wanted to do a five-year study. The second scenario assumed a cotton seed program payment and eligibility potentially started in the fall of 2017. I think as we get a little bit farther into this year, having a payment this year is probably going to get less and less likely. But just for the study purposes, we're going to assume that cotton seed can get into the program and have a potential payment this fall in 2017. All right. I talked to Joe Outlaw. He's the head of our Ag Policy Center. And so I had him help me with some of the assumptions for the study. We assume a direct conversion of generic acres to oilseed acres. That is a very big question mark. What I mean by that is this farmer number one has 261 acres of generic base acres, which used to be the old cotton base. We're going to assume all 261 of those generic acres go directly into oilseed acres. Whether or not that actually happens is a big question mark. I've heard rumors that they could say based on production and they'll be able to update those acres just like they could with the other crops. Nobody seems to know. And trying to get a farmer to go to FSA and sign in blood that he needs his history so I could simulate this doesn't happen. And so we're basically took the simple approach and just assumed a one-to-one direct conversion between generic acres and oilseed acres. We also had a lint-to-seed calculation factor of 1.3. And then we also used a PLC reference price of 2015 a hundredweight. That's the standard for the oilseeds. That equates to 20 cents a pound, or about $400 a ton. Okay, all our 2017 yields, acres, and prices were based on actual producer data. All five of the producers in this database and in the study are actual farmers in the Texas Panhandle. All future projections were acquired from the Texas A&M Food and Ag Policy Center Research Institute. Okay, this shows our study area. We started kind of in the middle of the Panhandle. That's about as high north as we could go that had some farmers that actually had generic base acres. I had a producer in Oldham County, that's Vega. Beth Smith is Hereford. Over to Randall County, which is Canyon, Texas. Swisher County is in the yellow, that's Tulia. And then Hale County is going to be Plainview. Okay, just to point out some of our farm characteristics, one thing that sets apart Panhandle farmers a little bit more so than farms that we see in the southern high plains, like Lubbock, South, is we have a lot of diversification in our farming operations. And so all five of these farmers have cotton planted acres. But if you look at the planted acres, they also all planted wheat. Two of the five had sorghum and corn, and then three of the five also had some stocker cattle operations as well. So it's a relatively diverse mix of planted acres and livestock. And then another thing I want to point out, because it's going to make a big difference on the results, is if you look at the generic acres, producer one had 261 acres of generic base. He planted at least 360 acres of a program crop, so all those generic acres could go to wheat in any given year. Farmers two and three, kind of the same situation. They had about 400 and then 750 acres of generic base. They planted enough crops in the program, wheat, sorghum, and corn, that they were fully able to assign that generic base to another crop and receive a program payment. As we move farther south, closer to the southern low plains area, like Lubbock or so, that became less and less the case. If you look at our Swisher County producer, he had almost 1,300 acres of generic base. He only planted about 1,100 acres of wheat. So he's basically leaving 200 generic acres on the table that he didn't get any kind of farm program payment on. We go down to Plainview. This guy had over 1,000 acres of generic base. He only planted 370 acres of crops that were eligible for program payments. So he left almost 700 base acres on the table. And so when we go into our farm-level financial impact, we definitely see that among the different producers. Basically, our first two producers, they were highly diversified, and they only had about 12%, or I mean, about, I guess, 9% and about 30% of their total base acres were in the form of generic base. Basically, the way this bar graph works is the blue graph shows their percent of their total base acres that were made up of generic cotton base, and then the red graph shows their overall increase in liquidity by taking advantage of that oilseed program. And so our first two producers had about 10 to 30% of their generic acres that were eligible for those oilseed payment programs. They were able to fully allocate those generic acres to other crops. And so therefore, when they implemented an oilseed program, it didn't show just a real big advantage. And that's basically what this chart shows, is we ran those two scenarios. The first one is assuming we continued on and just had generic base for the life of the farm bill. And the second one is assuming that they did implement some kind of oilseed program. So the first two farmers that were highly diversified and did not have a lot of generic base They showed a relatively minimal impact by implementing an OLC program. You know, maybe making another $2,000 to $5,000 a year at the most. Our third producer, he's the one over in Canyon. He had about 44% of all his base acres were in the form of generic cotton base. He was able to fully allocate those, but still implementing that OLC program did make an impact on him. It increases overall net cash farm income by about $6,000 or so. His equity grew by $11,000, and his ending cash went from negative to less negative. So, you know, that's kind of the way it worked. But we did definitely start to see a big impact on those two more southern county guys. Swisher County, he had about 65% of all his generic, all his base acres in generic base, and he saw overall about a 30% improvement in profitability and liquidity. His net cash farm income grew by about, $20,000 or so. His equity improved by $30,000. His ending cash grew by $40,000. And then this guy and the next guy were the ones that we saw really big improvements in their debt levels. Their debt levels dropped about 5%, and their overall profit margins rose by about 5%. And then our biggest winner was really Producer 5. He's the one over in Plainview. 73% of all his acres came in the form of those generic acres. He was not able to fully allocate all of them because he just didn't plant enough crops other than cotton. And so therefore, by implementing that oilseed program, his overall liquidity and profitability went up by almost 50%. So just to draw some summarizing conclusions, really across the board, when we simulated the possibility of an oilseed payment, all five of our producers benefited. Farms that had a large percentage of generic base acres in relation to their total base acres showed the most significant change in overall profitability and liquidity. Kind of on the flip side, those farmers that had less generic cotton base and planted a lot of other crops that they could assign that base to, they saw a lot less significant advantage. So really, I could see how this would be a good program. I definitely could see how as we move farther to the south, like Lubbock and Midland, those guys don't plant a whole lot of stuff other than cotton. They can't. So they don't have the insurance coverage, and they just don't have the type of harvesting equipment that they need. So if they had all generic cotton base, they're not receiving hardly any payment now. And if we implemented an oilseed payment, it could provide a very significant advantage to those type producers. And that might be another study that we could run with some data that we get from the Southern Low Plains. So that's really all I had. Are there any questions?
Questions, Mikey? All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.